Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is a special show for the stakes-laden card at Tampa Bay Downs on Sunday. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatal, back with you coming from Bermondsey, from the Airbnb in Bermondsey. Very excited to be joined by a man who was recently anointed with a pretty cool honor for any horse player inducted into the NHC Hall of Fame, extremely popular fixture on all the shows that we do. He is, of course, Duke Matisse. Duke, how are things? How was Vegas?
Vegas was good, except I didn't do so well in the tournament. But Vegas was fun. Good to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. I had so many people just come up to me that I had no clue who they were, and it was really just amazing that I have some fans out there, Pete. So it was amazing that there was so many and just had a really good time, and it was a good time at the banquet, and good turnout too. It was a pretty full room, and really just enjoyable.
Excellent. I wish I could have been there. And you know, one of these years I'll have to skip Cheltenham to go back out that way, because it sounds like that this is going to be the date for the foreseeable future, the mid-March NHC date. What do you think of this date as opposed to the old date? Are you positive, negative, or neutral?
Well, I mean, I think the weather for the racetracks is a little better. I think that's one thing, one positive. I think the NHC has got some... They got to make up their mind on a couple things, and I, you know, they're not really the most welcoming when it comes to stuff like that. You know, you give them ideas, and they've done a few good things with making more picks on Saturday and less on Friday. I think that's a good idea. It's just, there's other things they could do, I think, with this tournament that they don't do. And we can talk about that another day, but, I think the date looks like they're going to keep it in mid-March. It seems like they like it. And I imagine they get, as long as they're just before March Madness, I think they get a good deal on the rooms, which I think is probably extremely important to them.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense financially for sure. And I mean, to their credit, they have made adjustments over the years in terms of format and things. It's not like they're closed off to ideas. So I'm sure if you want to... Yeah, put a show together at some point talking about it, or just communicate with them directly. Obviously, your opinion is respected by that crew for sure, and that's great that people were giving you that support out there. I know, like I said, I wasn't blowing smoke when I said anytime you're on these airwaves, people are like, "Bring Duke on more." Like,
I actually had a guy. I had one of your listeners come up to me after the induction, and he was super nice. His name is escaping me right now, but he mentioned he was definitely a In the Money podcast listener, and I gave him a winner sometime back in the day.
Nice.
Well, it's a few and far between, but
it's the giving the winners, but it's also the fact that you're somebody who's been through the wars, and horse players respect that. And also, more than giving the winners, it's the logic and the work that you put in that people really appreciate over here. We're not, you know, this is not an unsophisticated audience who's just looking for tips. They want to hear about, you know, the whole deal. And you know, when you come on here and talk about your picks and the reasons why, it's very logical to me that you'd have the fan base that you do. Let's see if we can give some winners, though, for this Sunday card at Tampa. The weather Saturday at Tampa, not so good, but Sunday is good. We're going to be optimistic and say, hey, we're going to stay on the turf for these races. Let's hope we're right about that. But do keep that in mind, and do double check in terms of the weather if you're listening to the show the day of, and you'll have more information than we have as we're recording this on Friday evening. But we kick things off with race number 6 at Tampa. We've got 3-year-old fillies, Florida Breds, as we're going to be having a lot of Florida Breds here. The Stonehenge Farm South Sophomore Philly Stakes going 7 furlongs. This big favorite, Mystic Lake, odds on the morning line. Might be a little bit tricky to down for Safi Joseph, but can we bring something else in here, or is this one where this 3-5 shot stands above the crowd for you?
Well, she definitely stands out. I mean, you're going to hear me talk probably a lot on this podcast about on Lasix, off Lasix, because all these horses in these races are off Lasix, every single one of these races, they're not allowing LASIK. So you're going to see a lot of that. And that worries me a little bit about the one. I like the one, Miss Saley. I think that's how you say it, Miss Saley. But the problem is, I think that she's back off LASIK worries me a little bit. She has run pretty well off of it, but her speed figure increased last time with LASIK on, and that worries me a little bit. But I think if anyone were to beat Mystic Lake, it has to be the one. And with Paco on, I assume Paco is going to get either up on the two or maybe in front of the two, knowing Paco. He loves the send, and I think it's probably his best shot is to either just stalk the two or just make the two, you know, sit, you know, so from the one hole. So again, I would only use in, you know, in the pick six, or I would only use the one and the two and hope the one could beat the two. I can't see the rest of the field winning.
Yeah, I totally get it. I'll probably have a token play with the two and leave it alone. But I think you're right, especially how it could shake out with the pace. That's the interesting scenario in that sixth race. Let's move on to the seventh. Three-year-olds once again, colts this time. We are going a mile and a 16th on the turf with 110,000 in the pot for the Equistaff sophomore turf stakes. Field of seven going postward. And am I correct that Paco and You Wish look pretty loose in here? I was thinking they might be very tricky to run down.
The only horse, I think, I mean, she's definitely off pace figures. He is the fastest horse by far. The only horse that could possibly go with him is the five Prevent. But I wouldn't think they would want to go if, you know, I think Paco, you know, when he's around, I think people like get a little scared of him because they know he's an aggressive rider, and I think he'll go, and I think the five will stalk is what I think will happen here. We don't know if And You Wish can go two turns. I've looked up some offspring, that mare, and a couple of them have made it two turns and made it okay, but their better races have been sprinting. So that worries me with the seven, And You Wish. I'm going to probably go with the favorite here, the three, Crystal Quest. One for one on the grass and came back and showed a really nice poly race last time. And I watched that turf race at Gulfstream. It was pretty impressive to be wide and still win that day with the slow pace. Just looked like a horse that could really, really be too good for these based on that first turf race. So I like Crystal Quest the best. I think Ninja Star might get a really good inside trip. I'm a little worried about the rider change to Manessis. It's a little bit of a downgrade from Gallardo. But I think all in all, as long as he just sits third or fourth on the rail, that's all he's pretty much got to do, make one run. And a horse to throw in tries is the six, Lord Knows. Lord Knows is out of a very productive race and was wide on the turf. You never want to be too far wide on the Tampa turf. I think might be picking up the pieces at the end, be a horse to use underneath.
3-2 with the six underneath. You'll use the seven in some combos, but you just don't trust that he's going to stay. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I probably got to have the seven if I'm playing pick fives. You can't throw him out. There's no way you could throw a horse like that out of a pick five. But a lean on the three. In the race itself, I'm going to try to beat the seven, but in a pick five type bet, I would use him.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And Crystal Quest, I mean, I take your point, has gone the distance or close enough to it, and a couple of times has closed into slow paces, suggesting that maybe a little bit better than the bare form of those races suggest. I do worry that Paco getting a loan out there could maybe leave the horse a little bit much to do, but you make a good case. I mean, he's closed and won from a bit out of position before. So, you know, against a potential non-stayer, I get why you'd want to lean on that one. And I think will be a backable favorite as well. I don't think that horse is going to get too hammered in that situation. Let's talk about racing.
You got to have an open mind on these races. You got to have scenarios. Like, you got to think about if the seven gets loose, the seven can win. If the five goes after the seven, you know, then you think the seven. So I'm taking the approach that the five's got to go after him, and the seven might not be a distance horse too. So at 5-2 or whatever it's going to be, I think the three is more reliable. That's all. I don't really have a strong opinion, but
let's talk about this eighth race, the Naira Betts Sprint Stakes. We're going 6 furlongs again with that six-figure pot here, and looks like plenty of speed signed on. I kept going back and forth trying to envision who was going to get the best trip here, maybe trying to find one to come from off the pace to get the money. But I'm still sort of making up my mind as far as who I think is going to win this one. Did you have a stronger opinion on race eight?
I don't have a strong opinion, but I did throw some horses out, which might help people. If you look at the threes races off Lasix, they're not very good. So I threw the three out. You look at the four, I think he's overmatched. And the five doesn't look like he's as good on the dirt as he is on the poly. So I threw those three out, the 3, 4, 5. So that might help things for people in this race. I think Mish is the horse to beat. Mish seems to run 1-2, seems like every single time. So I think he'll probably be the favorite, I would imagine. And can sit just off the pace, so doesn't need the lead. So Mish is going to be very difficult. I think the Dean Delivers might be sitting on a good race. Been running the one time he ran at Tampa, he ran 7 furlongs and ran right to the wire with a pretty good horse, Shaq Diesel, and with really fast fractions. If he could get him to just sit a tiny, tiny bit, I think he'll be tough to beat. And then the one horse, the Distractor. The Lasix thing worries me a little, but if you go back to way, way back on his form, his first three races of his life, he ran pretty good off Lasix. So that's definitely a horse that I think Paco could get into a good position from the rail. And I can't eliminate the 6 Zydeco. I don't think Zydeco can win the race, but he gets a pretty good trainer change. He's got a really nice bullet workout coming into the race. And I think another horse that could just stalk and maybe get in the try. So at 12-1, I wouldn't eliminate him either.
Yeah, that could really light up some payoffs for sure. I do think the draw is going to be advantageous to Mish on the outside. I mean, this is a horse that has shown the ability to pass, and maybe that could prove decisive, especially if it's one of those days at Tampa where, the rail isn't necessarily great, and that sort of stalking outside trip where Camacho, the other riders have to sort of play their hands before him. I mean, really in this field might have as good a finish as anybody. So definitely a sensible top pick for sure. On the morning line anyway, Dean Delivers is bet shorter than Mish. And I take your point about Dean Delivers maybe being able to prove the best speed as well from the inside. But I do worry about there being enough speed that hand gets forced, and especially if the rail isn't great, I think that horse will probably end up there. I like the idea of the 7 as the most likely one, and I like your idea of trying to mix in Zydeco for a little bit as well. Any other thoughts on race 8, or shall we move it on down the line?
No, I think you really analyzed what I said pretty well. I think Mish is definitely the horse to beat, and I think Dean Delivers it could be the one that beats them, and the 1 and 6 are the other factors. So I think it's just pretty cut and dry for me there.
Let's go to this S-Mark Turf Classic Stakes, 1 1/8 on the turf and a field of 8. We've got a big favorite here on the morning line anyway, in the form of number 1 Forever Super, installed as the 6-5 morning line favorite. Are you with or against that runner?
I'm kind of like in the middle with that horse. I don't think that horse is a 6-5 lock, I guess I have to be against, because right. I don't see 6-5. So like you're saying, I don't think this is the greatest field, unfortunately. And I can't really find the definitive speed. I think the 7 is Happy Is As Happy Does, right? Happy Is.
Yep, that's it.
Is going to get the lead if he wants it. I think he's the fastest horse. That being said, I'm not sure how good Happy Is As Happy Does is, but I mean, if he got loose, he does have a pretty decent figure 2 back on the grass, even though it was only a 2 other than. I think the horse actually has somewhat of a chance here. Me and Mr. C, for some reason, is in bad form a little bit this year. Maker's had a lot of these horses this year that I can't get a I can't get a line on him. Like, he's in and out all over the place, especially in New York this year. He's in good form. He's in bad form. So I don't know. You know, that horse was off Lasix last time and put in a really poor effort. Off Lasix again. I think I gotta go against that horse at 9-5 also. The two horse is a little bit interesting. Again, only coming out of like two other than and starters, but a slow pace last time was really running into it. I think 10-1 with Castellano, maybe sitting a little inside pocket type trip. Could be worth a shot in this race, as good as anybody else, I think. So I might fool around with the 2 and the 7 a little bit, just trying to hope to beat the two favorites, because they don't look like they're 6-5 and 9-5 to me.
Yeah, I think you make compelling cases for a couple of long shots. I mean, I see them both. Happy Is As Happy Does, on pace figures anyway, has that opportunity to be loose and could take some beating from there under Gallardo. And I mean, yeah, they're technically, I guess there's horses who've finished up their races better than Lord Edward Stark, and the horse is going to be tested for class, but that was a bit of an against the flow run the last day. And you know, 10-1 for a horse to get up in the money, I don't have any issue with that at all in a race where I think, you know, for me, it's just a case of the favorites just have a few more questions than answers in this spot. I mean, the 1 and the 6 can win, but yeah, not overly exciting. Will you use the favorites in this spot as, you know, in sort of a use them as contenders type of a thing? Or are you like against them enough that you'll be leaving them off of tickets?
I probably won't leave them off. I may leave Me and Mr. C off. I don't really like the form that horse is in. I won't leave Forever Super off. So in like a pick 3 or pick 4 type, pick 5 type thing, I'll probably go with 1-2-7. And you know, that's something. Just think I got to try to get a price somewhere in that. And I think that's a good race to do it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Let's go on to our 10th race on the card. 3-year-olds once again going 7 furlongs. The Ocala Breeders' Sales Sophomore Stakes. This time we got a field of 8 and a horse that you mentioned off air you were interested in. What do you know about this number 1, Sugar Boy?
So the Sugar Boy is a Puerto Rico invader that is coming to a really good trainer in the United States and is undefeated down there. I didn't get to watch the tapes of those races. I wanted to. I probably will. But speed figure wise, the horse, I mean, it runs some really nice speed figures. So at 7 furlongs, we got the horse running faster than anybody in this race has ever run. So well, that horse could, huge. That horse could possibly, you know, maybe get a little bit overlooked a little bit, because a lot of people don't like to bet those horses from down right. Down here. So I think he's probably, the only problem is he draws the rail. We were talking about if the rail was going to be good at Tampa. The rail this year at Tampa has been okay, but at 7 furlongs, that worries me a little bit, because he doesn't look like he's super quick away from there. So that's the worry. I think it's a good sign Camacho rides it. Not worried about the trainer at all, because he's on fire at Tampa. He's winning left and right. So that's my top choice. Hopefully I can get 3-1, maybe even 4-1 on a horse like that. This is an interesting race because I think the 8 horse is going to take a ton of money. And in my opinion, I don't think he's going to run any good at all. Right. He ran a maiden 40 and he dusted a field that he was 9-5 in that race. They knew he could run, obviously, but didn't beat much. And that day, we had a little bit favoring inside at Tampa. So I'm going to try to beat a horse like that at 9-5. And I'm going to use horses like the 6 Jigsaw underneath. I think he's a very good horse to run 2nd or 3rd. Proven at 7 furlongs. Got really good form right now. And I'm going to use a horse like Pure Class, who's coming from Gulfstream. Paco is going to ride it. I think he's just a horse that's going to be coming from off the pace and going to get 2nd or 3rd. I'm going to key 1 with the 4s and 6s in that race.
Yeah, you mentioned the 2 I was interested in. I thought the consistency of form in the morning line price of the 6 made that horse pretty interesting. And then pure class as well. It feels like that race two back, I think, can be thoroughly excused off the trip. And then, you know, you have two nice open length wins. And, you know, again, tested for class, but a horse that probably should be 4-1 and you know, figures in form wise, if the one isn't the standout you're suggesting, fits as well as any of them. And I'll definitely follow you in with your advice on the one there as well. That's very interesting that you have, you know, you have figures for those races that, whereas most people do not. So I think you gotta, you know, rail or no rail, I think you gotta respect the fact that you have that proprietary info that's not, you know, available to everybody.
Definitely. You know, it's my brother Paul does these figures. I don't know how he does it, but he does figures for every track in the country and not in the country too. Some like Puerto Rico. So, hats off to him if he can, if that figure is correct. So that horse, because that horse I think will be a decent price.
Yeah, I think so too. We close out. There's one more. There is a 12th race on the card, and if you have a thought, you're free to give it. But in terms of the races we're meant to be covering, the stakes races, the Pleasant Acres Stallions Distaff Turf Stakes is the last one we'll talk about for these three and up filly and mares going a mile and a 16th on the turf. What was your eye drawn to in this spot?
This race, I mean, it goes through the one Sweet Danny Girl. Castellano, I assume, came here to ride. This is probably his number one mount for these stakes races. And Clement is he's a very, very good shipping trainer. And I just think she's going to be tough, definitely tough to beat in here. She's got two wins in a row and just got the right form and can make her own position. She's going to be tough. She's 3-2, which is not thrilling, but I think she's going to get perfect pace scenario with baby steps and time passage who look like must have the lead type horses. So I think she's just going to sit third behind them and pounce and beat this field. I think I'm going to chalk out in this race a little bit. I like the 7 Mohawk Trail, who is going to come from way back and just pick up the pieces, I think, once Sweet Danny Girl makes the front. So, I mean, she could beat her, but not likely. I think, you know, those are really the only two horses I really can see in this spot. Paco goes to the 2, but I don't think Charlie's Wish is good enough to run with horses like the 1 and 7. And I think the 1's a little bit better than the 7 and going to get the jump on the 7. So as long as the pace scenario sets up like it looks like on paper. Now, if one of those two don't run baby steps or time passage, you know, the other, you must use whatever one is in, because they look like they'll be loose if one of those two scratch.
Right. That's fair. Sweet Danny Girl definitely looks like the type to have the right blend of speed and stamina and the right scenario to really do her thing. I was thinking about singling in picks and hoping for the best, but yeah, Mohawk Trail certainly makes sense. Closed well with the setup, but you know, that was a grade 3 and down into Florida Bred Company here, second off the layoff. Probably the other one. Maybe a cold number here, 1-7 for you. Is that what you're thinking if the race holds together?
Yeah, maybe a small reverse for sanity's sake. I mean, but like you said, she's coming out of a little bit classier race, maybe. But I just think the pace scenario suits the 1. So yeah. I just think it's more likely to run 1-7 than 7-1.
Excellent stuff. Did you happen to have a quick thought on the nightcap for people playing late picks? It's sort of a come down after these stakes we've been talking about, an $8,000 claimer. Did look like there was plenty of speed signed on. I was wondering if that meant we could bring in a theoretically slower closer at a price, but did anything leap off the page at you?
Nothing leaps off, but I think you make a good point there. I think horse like the 7 horse who's cutting back in distance, I think would be definitely a use. First place G, he's coming off a 7 for a long win. Sometimes I like those maidens that, you know, finally get to the winner's circle, run the best race of their life. Sometimes I like them coming right back.
Yep.
And then a horse, I think a horse that, like you said, that might close and will be a really big price because of the trainer and the connections. It'll be Bad Henry. He got no pace to run it last time and ran 4th. I think maybe be a nice horse to get in the try at 20-1. I think number 10, Bad Henry.
That's a good shout. I missed Bad Henry on my look through, but I mean, the way the race shapes up absolutely makes sense as a big price. First place G, certainly one I like. And the point you make, you know, all the more so like in these maidens when they finally get it done, when they're facing so many proven losers like are turning up in this spot, you know, just that comparatively unexposed form despite all the previous losses. I get it for sure on that one. So, and I love your idea of the 10 maybe to inject a little bit of a price in there as we close things out on this Tampa Bay card. Any other thoughts, Duke, on this 12th race or anything else on your mind as we talk for this special Sunday show for our friends at Tampa?
Well, we missed you on. I was actually on air going back to the NHC. I was actually did a lot of work with Steve Bick. And
Fantastic. He did a great job, didn't he? I mean, the bits and bobs I heard, you know, he puts you there even if you're not there.
Yeah, I mean, it was even exciting, even though I wasn't in it the last day. It was exciting to be on the air and talk about the races. And I gave out a good winner on air, which nice. Was nice at Oaklawn. That helped a little bit. And, you know, we had a good time. Steve, it was Steve Bick and the Hammer, you know.
Rick Hammerly. He Rick does a Hammerly. Great job, too. Yep.
And then Paul joined in and my dad joined in a little bit. So we had some good fun on air.
That's great. Yeah, you guys are a great crew. I can remember doing some final table commentary years ago with you guys. I'm excited. One of these years I'll have to make it work where I can figure out a way to do both. You know, maybe if Cheltenham staggered 1 week from it, maybe I could do it. Or, you know, 1 year I'll just make the decision to go out to Vegas and do that instead. As much as I love being over here and it's work, it's just so great to see everybody out there. And I miss it. I miss it when I'm not there. And yeah, I've missed now, you know, whatever it is, 2 years in a row and three out of the last five. It's no fun. I want to get back.
Yeah, it's great excitement. It's great people. I mean, we have such a good time. It's a tough thing to miss at any point. You know, it's like we love it. So it's for us.
What was the meal? What was the meal highlight for you? You mentioned Nobu. Was that the best one?
Nobu was very good. Yeah, the steakhouse was good. I think it's called Binion Steakhouse now. It's right in. I actually like that place a lot. It's right in the Horseshoe, Binion Steakhouse. And the steak to get was It was like a ribeye. What they call it? It had a weird name. It was like a ribeye, but
tomahawk ribeye with the big bone coming out of it.
No, it was. It wasn't like a. It wasn't any big bone. It was just it was really tender, and it was very highly recommended by the waiter. It was right on, you know. So it was tremendous. Whatever, it was definitely some form of a John the Clocker. You know, John Nichols was super high on it. You know, he knows his food.
Oh yeah, he likes his he does his research too. Yes. You know, he'll. We've had a lot of great meals out there over the years with John. That's awesome.
Yeah, he knew right away what to order, and I went with it, and he was dead on.
He gets his food. He does his food YouTube. Before everybody was watching YouTube food videos, John was sending me stuff and places to check out, specifically out in Vegas. I know how much he looks forward to that weekend as well. Maybe we can get him on. I know he gets so crazy it's hard, but it'd be fun to have him on ahead of the Derby and hear what he's seeing out there. You have any early Derby fancies? Anything catching your eye? I mean, so far, somebody asked me at Cheltenham what bet I would, you know, if I had any bets. I said, I have no bet. The bet I would like to make right now is that the winner pays $20 or more.
Yeah, I would definitely want that bet. I don't have a strong opinion at all. I think the horses that I've seen run so far, I believe it or not, I think the horses that ran in New York,
Gotham,
I thought were the most impressive that I've seen. So that's a weird one, but for me, I'm gonna have to wait till I see these races coming up. Is it this weekend or is it next weekend?
We've got, there's not much this, well, Louisiana Derby, that's not true. Yeah, we got Louisiana Derby this weekend. That could shake up our little top 10 list. We've been doing videos over on YouTube for that. We'll hopefully have a new one up very soon, especially if something interesting happens there. And then next weekend, I mean, Florida Derby is going to be huge, seeing Fierceness run again and seeing, I mean, is he still a horse? I mean, based on that number he ran as a two-year-old, he might still be the best one. But boy, that was such dull stuff last time. Did you see any excuse for him in his comebacker?
I did not. I don't like him at all. I can't believe the race he ran in the Breeders' Cup. I threw him out completely in the Breeders' Cup. I don't know where that race comes from, but if he comes back, who knows? I like those horses that ran in the Gotham. I like Just a Touch. It was a Brad Cox horse that's lightly raced, and I like Deterministic. I think those two horses are the real. I think they're the real deal this year.
I can't argue. I mean, JK has been a Just a Touch fan from the get-go, and I love Deterministic. So it is weird putting forth Gotham horses. I mean, the Gotham. I'm not sure when the last time the Gotham was a relevant prep race for the Kentucky Derby. It was a minute ago. But hey, it's that kind of year where, you know, I don't get hung up on these historical trends. They're all individuals, and those are as interesting individuals as we've seen. Hopefully we can get you back on as part of our Monster Pod this year and maybe do some extra Derby stuff as well. It's always great to have you on these airwaves and pick your brain. And hey, you did give out Country House a few years ago.
Yeah, and I think I gave out the winner of the Preakness, I think, one year on your show, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Was it the McCarthy horse, or was something at a good price? So that makes me think.
It was definitely a price. I know it was definitely wasn't
short. It might have been Rombauer. Cause
it Rombauer, was, yes, it was Rombauer.
Yeah.
It's Rombauer. Good memory.
Excellent stuff, Duke. Really appreciate you and coming on and supporting our friends at Tampa. It's been great having them in the fold this year. Hopefully we can do even more next year with you. And Rich Averill's obviously been a big part of our Tampa coverage as well. Been great having him. And it was great getting down there for a weekend and meeting Margo Flynn in person and getting to see the track. It's a super charming place. I can see why you made it a regular stop a whole lot of years and assume you'll be getting back when you can.
Yeah, it's great. I love Tampa. Tampa's really a lot of fun. They're really good to me down there. Everybody should go visit Tampa. It's an old school type racetrack. Reminds me of, you know, tracks when I was growing up in New England area, like Suffolk Downs and Rockingham Park. It reminds me of tracks like that. And just super people that run it. And the weather's always great. And the food's good around there. So why not go down there? Everybody should go.
Love it. Duke, thank you so much once again. Thanks to everybody out there who supports these shows by tuning in and listening, subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, checking out the YouTube channel, all that great stuff. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatale. May you win all your photos.